ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సర్వ వేదాంత సిద్ధాంత గోచరం తమగోచరం గోవిందం పరమానందం సద్గురుం ప్రణతోస్మ్యహం. జంతూనాం నరజన్మ దుర్లభమతః పుంస్త్వం తతో విప్రత తస్మాద్ వైదిక ధర్మ మార్గ పరత విద్వత్మస్మాత్ పరం. ఆత్మానాత్మ వివేచనం స్వనుభవః బ్రహ్మాత్మనా సంస్థితిః ముక్తిర్నో శతకోటి జన్మ సుకృతైః పుణ్యైర్వినా లభ్యతే. దుర్లభం త్రయమేవైతత్ దేవానుగ్రహ హేతుకం మనుష్యత్వం ముముక్షుత్వం మహాపురుష సంశ్రయః. లబ్ధ్వా కథంశ్చిత్ నరజన్మ దుర్లభం తత్రాపి పుంస్త్వం శృతి పారదర్శనం. యస్త్వాత్మయుక్తౌ న యతేత మూఢదీః సహ్యాత్మః స్వం వినిహన్య సద్గ్రహాత్. హతకోన్వస్తి మూఢాత్మా యస్తు స్వార్థే ప్రమాద్యతి. దుర్లభం మానుషం దేహం ప్రాప్య తత్రాపి పౌరుషం. పఠంతు శాస్త్రాణి యజంతు దేవాన్ కుర్వంతు కర్మాణి భజంతు దేవతాః. ఆత్మైక్యబోధేన వినా విముక్తిః న సిద్ధ్యతి బ్రహ్మశతాంతరేపి. సో వి సా ది శ్లోకా నంబర్ 6 ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్. Actually, before I go further, I just want to thank Dr. Ramaswamy for sharing the Viveka Chudamani PDF book version to all our participants of the webinar. The book is very nicely, you know, printed and very clear in terms of its makeup. So that is a very useful thing. It has the shlokas and the word by word meaning and all that. So you can follow that book if you have it with you. And if there are some variations from what I give and what is there in that book, please make those corrections or changes in that. So after talking about the glory of the human birth, the Manushya Janma, from the 6th to the 13th shloka, the Acharya talks about jnanam. Self-knowledge and jnana sadhana, the means for self-knowledge. First, he points out that self-knowledge alone can give liberation and no other sadhana can give liberation. And he gives a list of sadhanas, studying of different shastras, performing many rituals, karmas, upasanas. All of them, they cannot give liberation if one does not gain self-knowledge. Atmaikya bodhena vina vimuktihi na siddhyati. One cannot get moksha even after 100 years of Brahma's age. We already gave how long a time is Brahma's age. Even hundreds of years of that Brahma's age also will not be able to give the moksha if people cannot get self-knowledge. So this shloka should not be misunderstood, because we even mentioned that in the last webinar. The Acharya, he does not condemn karmas, rituals, etc., but he only says that they cannot give liberation themselves. And this does not mean one can renounce those rituals and all those karmas as useless, because without karma and upasana, one can never come to jnanam. That is why we say, without karma and upasana, moksha is impossible. And without jnanam, karma and upasana will be ever incomplete only. But you may ask that there could be some child prodigies at 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. You know, these people, they have lot of talent, and without learning anything, they are new. It is because they have already gone through the karma and upasana in their previous janma. So we saw up to this in the last webinar. Now let us continue with shloka number 7. Amrutatvasya nashasti वित्तेनेत्येव हि श्रुतिः अमृतत्वस्य नाशास्ति वित्तेनेत्येव हि श्रुतिः ब्रवीति कर्मणो मुक्तेः अहेतुत्वं स्फुटं यतः ब्रवीति कर्मणो मुक्तेः अहेतुत्वं स्फुटं यतः. So in the previous shloka, shloka number 6, the Acharya said that karma and upasana and arupasana cannot give moksha. And in this shloka, the 7th shloka, the Acharya, he gives the supporting pramana from the Shruti, from the Vedas. And he quotes the popular Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Amrutatvasya na asha asti, no hope or scope for immortality for amrutatvasya vittena through wealth, so money cannot give moksha. Ityeva hi shruti refers to the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Shruti, the well-known Maitreyi Brahmanam. This statement comes in that, in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And we have a similar idea in another Shruti Vakyam also. Na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyagena ike amrutatvam anashuho. So, dharmena amrutatvasya asha nasti, no hope to get moksha with either money or karma or any of those. So, now the Acharya points out that money is the means for performing lot of karma. For people who want to perform karma, money is a must, especially Vaidika karmas or any other project. For example, that anybody would like to undertake, we want financial resources. In Vaidika rituals also, the moment the priest comes to the house, the first mantra he will chant is Ritvik Varanam, to make sure that this person, he can be engaged. So he wants Dakshina for that right in the beginning, engaging them to start the ritual. For the right from there it starts, and then on all the materials are required for conducting the ceremony, they require money, and at the end also one has to give dakshina to the priest. So money is seen in the scriptures as karma sadhanam. Normally we see money as kama sadhanam only, to get food, to get pleasures, for that we use money. But when the Shruti says money cannot give moksha, it means the money-based karma cannot give moksha. It is not money that cannot give moksha. The money-based karma cannot give moksha. Vitte na na mokshaha. That is equal to vitta sadhya karmana na mokshaha. Whatever one can gain by having money, by doing all those karmas, one cannot get moksha. Moksha cannot be attained through wealth means. Moksha cannot be attained through karma, which is accomplished through wealth. And in the second line, he says, karmana muktehe ahetutvam bravit. The Shruti refers to karma as not a means of liberation, as incapable of liberation. Otherwise, if you superficially people look at it, the two lines will have no connection at all. They may look, you know, too disconnected. Because the first line, the Shruti says, no moksha through money. Therefore, there is no, and in the second line, the Acharya says, and therefore, there is no moksha through karma. So, we have to relate these two. So, to connect money to karma, as ritual is born out of money. That is how we can connect these two. So, karmana mokshaha na bhavati. And once we say this, we have to extend to all upasanas also. Karma is indicative or upalakshanam of all upasanas also here. That is, upasanas also will not give moksha. Then how do we include upasana in karma? That question might come. Upasanas also come under activity only, action done by the mind. Upasana, meditation, action done by the mind, defined as manasam karma. So, karmana na mokshaha, upasanena api na moksha. There is no moksha through either karma or upasana. And here the Acharya gives only the Shruti support, the support from the Veda mantras, from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now we should be aware of the logical support also. And he does not give it here, but we can extrapolate. All karmas, what are they? They produce results in time. So all karma palams are end products of a process or a series of processes, physical or mental processes. So if it is an end product, karma palam, if it is an end product, then it has got a beginning and so will have an end also. All karma palams are perishable only. All fruits of any action, they are all perishable only. And that is why in Sanskrit, the word palam is split as palgutaya liyate iti palam, that which rots and perishes. From the very derivation, it is clear that whatever is karma palam one acquires will get rotten. That is why fruits, etc., they call it as perishable goods. When they ship it, there will be a label which will say perishable goods. And what is moksha? It is not an end product of any process. So we should never expect moksha to happen sometime in future. That is the basic mistake everyone commits. If moksha is a phalam, it will go away also one day because it is perishable. Then what are we struggling to do here? Not to attain moksha, but we are attempting to discover moksha as an eternal fact. Therefore, moksha cannot be attained by karma or upasana because of Shruti support and also because of the logical support that we just discussed. There is a word sputam also in the shloka which goes with braviti. Braviti. So that means what the Upanishad clearly tells, sputam, very clearly tells, karmana na moksha. No liberation through karma. Shloka number 8.
Ato vimuktyai prayateta vidvane sanyastha bahyartha sukaspruhasanne. Ato vimuktyai prayateta vidvane sanyastha bahyartha sukaspruhasanne. Santam mahantam samupetya deshikam tenopadishtartha samahitatma. Santam mahantam samupetya deshikam tenopadishtartha samahitatma.
So the Acharya, he says, every intelligent being, the adjective is important, every intelligent being should work for moksha only. Since moksha is through knowledge, one should work for knowledge. That's what Acharya says. Ataha vidvan, every intelligent person, vidvan, the Acharya consciously uses the adjective. So if anyone works for anything else, indirectly, they are unintelligent. Unless a person works for moksha, that person, Acharya says, indirectly, he is unintelligent. So, vidvan. Vidvan means what? Nitya, anitya, vastu, viveki. One who has clearly grasped what is permanent and what is not permanent. Such a person, sanyastha bahyartha sukaspruhasanna. Not only he has got viveka, he has got vairagyam also. Towards what? Bahya artha sukaha. Pleasures born out of external objects, bahya artha, or sensory pleasures. And spruha. Spruha means addiction, attachment, raga, asaktihi. Asaktihi or craving. And sanyastha means free from. So for an intelligent person, he should become free from all his addiction for sensory pleasures, that is called vairagyam. So once you get viveka shakti and you also got vairagyam, then a lot of time is saved right there. Because sensory pleasures may be there in life, but only to a limited extent. As we always say, entertainment should not be there at all. We never say that. Human mind cannot be serious for 24 hours. We want some distraction. We want some relaxation. Certainly Krishna himself, he says in the Gita, yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Viharaha, some recreation, some change, relaxation, diversion, they are all needed. But the proportion must be very clear. You know, the example we gave earlier, are we taking pickle with yogurt rice or are we taking yogurt rice with pickle? Swamiji's famous example. So, vimuktyaihi prayateta. Such a mature person should work for liberation. Prayateta, should work for liberation. And what should one do for liberation? Can anybody sit in a corner and keep on meditating? Meditate on the self. Somebody tells you, meditate on the self. Then you ask the question, do you know what is the self? They say, I do not know. Only a series of imaginations are given, this and that and all. And Shankaracharya says, working for moksha should not be an independent job. It has to be necessarily done under the guidance of someone else, a guru. All other sadhanas one may do without guidance, but not spirituality. He may end up as perhaps a mad person also, go on meditating for hours and hours and hours. At the end, he has not gone anywhere. He still thinks some ananda has to come somewhere from. Moksha will come. So he may end up even being a mad person. So he says, Desikam Samupetya. One should lead a spiritual life by approaching a guru, a guide. Desikaha. Desikaha means guruhu or acharya. It's a very ideal word, Desikaha. One who teaches scriptures. He is a Desika. Shastram Upadishati Iti Desikaha. So we can have several people for worship. For blessing us, no problem. We can have pictures of them, we can have their idols, we can put garlands on them, we can worship them, do namaskara to them. But they all cannot be called Deshikas, since they can at best be blessing us. Many people can be inspirers also, but we want, what we want is someone who can teach. A teacher is called Deshikaha. And what type of Deshika he should be? Santham. A competent teacher. The qualifications are twofold, as mentioned in actually Mundaka Upanishad. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He is the right guru. Brahmanishtaha, one who abides in Brahman. That is what he teaches also. So, what he is and what he teaches are not different. So, if I am not Brahman, then I will be teaching Brahman as though it is a third entity. Constantly I will say, that Brahman, that Brahman, that Brahman, and create a distance and will keep on feeding the objectification tendency to the students. And the student also may be listening to this for 15 years and 20 years and he will say, I have known Brahman, but I have not come across Brahman. He is still waiting. He will be eternally waiting for Brahman only. He will never go and reach a Brahman. This is the biggest misguidance a teacher can do. He has to teach that Brahman is yourself and not to be realized later. Then only the student will be able to say, Aham Brahmasmi. Only if an Aham Brahmasmi for the teacher is there, then alone he can say Tattvamasi to the student. And then the student will say Aham Brahmasmi again. Therefore, he is called Brahmanishtaha, for whom the subject matter and himself are identical. Aham Brahma Asmi. And the other qualification is Shrotriyaha. He should be a Shrotriyaha. He should have the methodology of communication which he has gained from his guru. He was a Shrota. He heard from his guru who taught him. And his guru was taught by his guru. So there was a parampara. And this person who has come through that parampara, who is a Shrotriyaha now, who knows the methodology of communication, which is very uniquely designed and developed in our scriptures. It's a particular method of communication in which you introduce a concept first and go to the next higher level and then negate the previous concept. Then go to the next higher level and then negate the previous concept. So, introduce, negate. Introduce, negate. And when it is finally negated, what should be left behind? I, the negator alone, should be left behind. The negator negating all the negatables except that negator, all others are gone. This is called Adhyaropa Apavada method. We have mentioned this earlier in some other context. Introduction and negation. Adhyaropa, introduction. Apavada, negation. Finally, the unnegatable I, which is the unobjectifiable consciousness, that alone will be left behind. This method is called Adhyaropa Apavada method. This is designed and developed in our scriptures very methodically. The one who knows this method and who has got the knack of using the method to teach, that person is called a Shrotriya, who himself has learnt it from his teacher. And if the method of proper teaching, if whether it is correct or not, the student will stop expecting moksha as an event if it is communicated properly. He will only say, if you ask him, he will only say, I am not a samsari. If you ask him whether you got moksha, he will not even reply. So he will stop his expectation for moksha and drop the notion of attachment or bandha. This is the sign of ideal communication. So the competence of the teacher also will be proved, then only that is called Shrotriyatva. So a Brahmanishta cannot be a communicator, he may be a mystic only. Whereas a Shrotriya Brahmanishta, he is a Deshikaha. All this explanation, they are all is to go to support the term Deshika. And Santam means Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam, Deshikam. And Mahantam, who is generous, who is a compassionate acharya. So he is always, he is interested very liberally, freely distribute the knowledge that he has gained to so many people. Yan Petra Inbam, Peruga Yivayakam, let the entire world benefit out of my knowledge. I should share and make the others also enjoy this freedom. That is the attitude. Not with the motive to get any benefit out of it, any recognition. Then he will do Vedanta as a business. No, without any motive, not even to get the status of a guru. That is the last bondage. If I have to enjoy the status of a guru, then I should keep the students permanently as students only. Make sure that they are not free. If they are free, then what will happen? They will stop to be students. So the maintenance of gurudom, as Swami Dayananda says, the maintenance of gurudom, like kingdom, you know, that is another bondage also. So the one who gives the knowledge without even having the desire for gurudom, that person is called a mahan, a dayaluhu, a compassionate person. And such a teacher, a person should approach such a teacher and do what? Not just to do namaskaram and leave. One should receive the teaching and dwell upon the teaching. So, tena upadishtartha samahitatma. One should be absorbed in the teaching. Atma, atma here means the mind, not the Sachidananda atma. And samahita means absorbed. Artha, artha here means teaching. So here the Acharya is referring to Shravanam, because this absorption should take for some time. It should take some time. One cannot just go one day and leave. Questioning should not even happen on the first day at all. From day one itself, people will keep on asking questions, because they are asking questions not out of knowledge, but out of some common sense. So they cannot, unless they grasp the full teaching, even the questioning should not be done. So whatever questions are there, I may feel, you know, it may be on day one, day two, I may feel it is all illogical, it may be impossible, improper, absurd, unscientific, irrational, meaningless, all that I can say. But until I get a comprehensive and total picture, I should go on receiving the knowledge. And having received the total picture, if there are clarifications required, then mananam begins. So during the Shravanam time, let our ears be filled with so much of information from the teacher. And during the time of mananam, let me go on recapitulating that and go on negating or whatever I need to do to inquire, to clarify myself. Let us not, because I do not understand something correctly, let me not blame the scriptures or the teacher. Let me again put the effort and keep on trying to understand it correctly. So, samahitatma is initially you receive without questioning. Not that questioning is not allowed, but after comprehensive grasping, then the question, if they are asked, they will be meaningful questions. Shloka 9.
Uddaredatmanatmanam magnam samsara varidhau. Uddaredatmanatmanam magnam samsara varidhau. Yoga rudatvam asadhyam సమ్యక్ దర్శన నిష్టయా యోగారూఢత్వమాసాధ్య సమ్యక్ దర్శన నిష్టయా.
ఆల్ ది శ్లోకాస్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ జ్ఞాన సాధనం విచ్ ఇస్ వేదాంత శ్రవణం అదర్వైజ్ కాల్డ్ వేదాంత విచార. And the same idea is repeated here also in all these shlokas in different ways, various ways, from various angles. So, yoga rudatvam asadhya. Before entering vichara or scriptural inquiry, one should attain vichara yogyata, the fitness for that inquiry, which Shankaracharya calls as yoga rudatvam here, vichara yogyata or sadhana chatushtaya sampatti in our tattvabodha language. And how do we acquire sadhana chatushtaya sampatti? That is not mentioned here. That we have to supply through karma and upasana, which includes veda, parayanam, prayers, all those things, rituals. So, because by the time we come to Vedanta, we should learn to look upon Veda as a means of knowledge. Veda is not talking about doing something to get knowledge, but itself is a valid source of knowledge of what? Something which perception and logic cannot reveal. Whatever perceptive ability we have or logic we have, they cannot reveal that. So Veda does not teach some experiments that I should do and know. But Veda is directly giving the knowledge. Therefore, all our aim is understanding what Veda communicates. And we look upon what Veda communicates as knowledge itself. Exactly like what the sense organ communicates or presents as knowledge. If I have to check what one sense organ teaches through another sense organ cannot prove or disprove it. What has to be seen by eye has to be seen only by eye. Maybe if there is a power has increased, you may change the glasses perhaps. But eye alone can see. What the eye reveals is knowledge for me. Similarly, what Veda communicates, I take it as knowledge. My eyes, they reveal something in its field, ears reveal something in their field, and Veda reveals something in its field. Whatever eye reveals, I do not prove or disprove using my ears. Similarly, what Veda reveals, I grasp as the very knowledge. And if the knowledge is not clear, what should I do? As I go and check my power for my eyes, I have to go back only to Veda again and again and try to understand. Aim is what? To understand Veda, which itself is knowledge. So this attitude is called Pramana Buddhi. Pramana Buddhi, developing the attitude that Veda is Pramanam, authority. And that is why Shraddha, faith, is one of the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti qualities. So, pramanya buddhihi is shraddha. If it is not there, we generally say that the study of Veda is not of any use at all. So, yoga rudatvam is important, asadhya. One should attain, having attained it. And after attaining yoga rudatvam, what one should get? Samyak darshana nishtha. Nishtha means the commitment. In what? Samyak darshanam. Self-knowledge, self-inquiry, samyak darshanam means. So, samyak darshanam nishtya, one should be committed to self-inquiry called Vedanta vicharaha. So, two stages now. One is Vedanta vichara yogyata praptihi, getting eligibility to do Vedanta vichara, and next Vedanta vichara itself, inquiry. This is the whole life. This is how the entire life should be spent. The first three ashramas, Brahmacharya ashrama, Grahastha ashrama, Vanaprastha ashramas, they are all for what? Vedanta vichara yogyata praptihi, to get the qualification, to become eligible for Vedanta vichara. And the sannyasa ashrama is for vichara itself. This is the design. And having done this, what should one do? Uddharete atmana atmanam. By following this, one should uplift, uddharet, oneself, by oneself, atmana. That is, the importance of self-effort is highly highlighted here. The importance of proper use of free will, that is what is highlighted. We are told many times that Ishvara's grace, Guru's blessings,
Shastra's grace, they are all important. Nobody says they are not important. Vedanta accepts the grace very much. But what Vedanta says is, grace can never, never replace self-effort. However big and powerful the grace may be, it can never replace self-effort. The grace can only be a booster. It can be a support to self-effort. So the Acharya says, Uddaret. You work. Where there is will, there is always a way. So if you have to uplift, then the way means uplift means what? You should be at some height, but you are not there. You have to uplift means what? You have fallen. You have been drowned. You have fallen. So, samsara varidau magnam. The self which is drowned in, submerged in the ocean of samsara. Samsara varidau. So, it is not dead. If so, then there is no problem. It is a struggling, suffering jivatma, samsari. You have to uplift. Uplift by whom? By oneself. Atmana, atmanam udare. Shloka number 10. Sanyasya sarva karmani bhavabandha vimuktaye. Sanyasya sarva karmani bhavabandha vimuktaye. Yatyatam panditai dhiraihi atmabhyasa upasthitaihi. Yatyatam panditai dhiraihi atmabhyasa upasthitaihi. So, Shankaracharya, he continues with the sadhanas for self-knowledge. Sarva karmani sanyasya. One should renounce sanyasya. One should renounce all the karma, sarva karmani. When? That is very important. After attaining the benefit of karma, then you can renounce karma. This is for true for anything. So, you are remained somewhere, gain whatever you need to gain. Grow and then renounce. So, I renounce the college when, for example, not while studying, but after getting the benefit, graduating and completing the study, then I renounce the college. I cannot say, oh, I like this college so much, the environment is good, teachers are good, other students are nice. I cannot say I'll be here forever. After you attained what you need to attain, leave. So, for everything, renunciation is not at the beginning, but only after getting the benefit. So, sanyasya sarva karmani, that means sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti anantaram. After getting sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, after acquiring this, after attaining purity of mind, neutralizing all the ragadveshas we had, complexes, maturity, after becoming clear of the priorities of life, then sanyasya sarva karmani. Leave all karmas at that time. And this sannyasa, that also we have to understand clearly, it is of two types. One is the formal scriptural sannyasa, according to scriptures, where one can renounce all the religious rituals totally. And another is mental detachment, still remaining in grihastha ashrama. And in this sannyasa, one cannot totally renounce the religious ritual, one has to still maintain some kind of skeletal religious activities for the sake of society, for the sake of family. He should still be observing some rituals. He may not need them, but as long as he remains in this setup, the family setup, societal setup, for the sake of that setup, he has to still maintain it. For example, saying some prayers or doing some namaskara, going to temples, etc. So, a grahastha cannot totally renounce all of them. He can only reduce karmas to some extent. Whereas a sannyasi can give up karmas totally. So, having done that sannyasa, that renunciation, and panditaihi, he should also attain some intellectual competence. He should become a pandita also. This is one thing we require for Vedanta. The student must be rationally sound. He should be logically strong, intellectually competent. Such a person only can come to Vedanta. That is why illiterate, uneducated people will find Vedanta very difficult. We cannot prescribe Vedanta to them for such people. In olden days, actually they had Tarka, they had Mimamsa, they had Vyakarana, all those things. Because education here means the capacity to logically think. One may not be a graduate going to college or anything, but they they study Tarka, Vyakarana, Mimamsa. These are three basic sciences which develop thinking, communication, language, logic. Tarka teaches how to think logically. Vyakarana teaches how to communicate effectively. Vyakarana Shastram is also called Padashastram. And Mimamsa teaches how to interpret scriptural statements. Because in Gita itself, Krishna says, Karmana Mokshaha, he says. By doing karma, you can get moksha. Karmana ihisam siddhim astita janakadayaha swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. If one takes this sloka out of context, we will get one of the most unfortunate conclusions that karma will give moksha. But we know neither Veda nor logic will support this. Therefore, we should interpret Krishna's statement properly. We cannot say Krishna is wrong, he is Bhagavan. We should also say Vyasacharya is, we should not say that he also may be wrong, he may be a wrong reporter. Like many newspaper reporters who may report wrong things. He is not a wrong reporter also, because he is also like Bhagavan. So, Mimamsa is required to look at all these statements in the totality of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And Shankaracharya comes to the beautiful conclusion that samsiddhihi in this shloka means chitta shuddhihi, purity of mind. So, karmana samsiddhihi means it should be interpreted as karmana chitta shuddhihi, not moksha. So, this kind of analysis is called Shadlinga analysis or Shadlinga Vicharaha or Mimamsa Shastram, science of interpretation. So, education is a must for Vedanta and so Panditahi, Panditas. So, they must be, a person should be a Pandita. But this should not be mere scholarship. Mere scholarship is Vipraha. One might get a PhD degree and you know he can do all these things, write a thesis and he will go away. So, scholarship is a must. But it alone is not enough. What else is required? Dhiraihi. He must be a Viveki. He must be a seeker of moksha. Viveki. Should not approach with an academic angle. But should have discovered the problem of samsara. And also discover that all other doors are closed. If you want to get out of the problem of samsara, all other doors are closed. There is only one door. Similar to that of Arjuna in the battlefield. He was in deep sorrow. Arjuna Vishada Yoga, the very first chapter. All his wealth, fame, people, they were all useless except Vedanta. So all these can be used as temporary relief measures. For example, if you have a cold, you can use a Vicks or some other, you know, some balm as a temporary relief. So a person should have discovered samsara problem first. And he should be a mumukshu, a person who is a tivra mumukshu, who has got a tivra icha, the craving desire that I should get moksha. And so the Acharya says, dhiraha, dhiraha, vivekibhi, one who has understood the uselessness of all other means except jnana. So he has understood the uniqueness of self-knowledge as the only remedy for samsara. He is a viveki. So, Panditya and Dhiratvam are very important. Then, Atma Abhyasa Upasthitaihi. One should become dedicated, one should become committed to Atma Abhyasa, self-enquiry, Abhyasa. Here, Abhyasa means Shravana Manana Nididhyasanani. Thus, being committed to this, one should work for Moksha. So, Yatyatam. Let one put forth the efforts. Prayatnaha kriyatam ityartha. Shloka number 11. Chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu palabhyate. Chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu palabhyate. Vastu siddhir vicharena nakinchit karma koti bihi. Vastu siddhir vicharena nakinchit karma koti bihi. This is a very often quoted shloka. Acharya talks about the relative roles of karma and vichara, inquiry. He says, each one is unique and has a unique role to play. One cannot substitute one with the other. And so karma is extremely important for chitta shuddhi. Actually, Karma Yoga is important for Chitta Shuddhi, a dharmic religious way of life, that is Karma Yoga, which involves the Pancha Mahayagyas, a life of Dharma. We already went through this discussion during our Vaidika rituals topic. So, Pancha Mahayagyas. And what is Dharma? It's a life of Dharma. And what is Dharma? We understand is, what we understand Dharma is as constituting three things. Number one, the rituals or religious exercises, puja, japa, pilgrimage, all that. And number two, values, value systems, character, quality, morality, integrity, all that. And third one is the attitude, the way we look at creation, ourselves, people around us, family. First, to learn to respect oneself. That is the difference between our faith and many other faiths. In many other faiths, the first thing they address you is as, oh, sinners. There is no sinner. Already I have a complex. I feel I am inferior. I feel I am useless. And the other family members are also telling me all the time. They reinforce this complex. What can you do? And at this time you go to this person. And he comes and tells you, you are a sinner. What to say to him more? So learn to develop self-respect. It is not ego. It is not pride. It is not arrogance. I say I am great because Lord is inside me. I am great not because of anything else, not because of my education, my power, my wealth, money, none of those. I am great because Lord is inside me. Similarly, the attitude towards the entire universe also should be like that. It's sacred towards parents and others, everybody. So, these three are called dharma or karma here in this shloka. So, chittasya shuddhaye karma. Karma can be dharma. So, religious life, these three things are important. And such a religious life is very important right from applying all those symbols, applying kumkumam, applying vibhuti, tilakam, all that. It reminds me of what? It reminds me and other people that Lord is in me. It is not ahankara, but is respecting the Lord within. So karma is for purifying the mind, chittasya shuddhihi, natu vastu upalabhyate. Religious, you know, like can never give, you know, self-knowledge. It will make a person purer. It can make a person humbler. Will make his ego thinner. Swamiji says, ego is like a very, very thick rope. You know, those in our villages and other towns, they have this big ratham. To pull that, they have a very, very thick rope. So, ego is so thick, very thick rope. And self-knowledge is like a very thin, sharp blade. And if one uses that self-knowledge to cut this big rope directly, then that blade will break. So, first make the ego, the big rope, thinner. Make it like a small thread. And then cut it with the micro knife called self-knowledge. So, make that thick rope thinner, you use all these things. Karma, upasana, all that, the rituals, chittasya, shuddhi. So, here vastu means reality. It is derived from the root vas. Vas means to exist. Vasti sarvasti sarvada asti iti vastu. That which eternally exists. So, trikalepi tishtati iti sat. That we saw already. So, in other contexts, any entity or object can be called the vastu in so many other contexts. But in this context, it is reality in Vedanta. So, the only substantial entity is Brahman. So, vastu here means what? Brahman or Atman. And upalabdhihi means attainment. So, vastu upalabdhihi means Brahma praptihi or Atma praptihi or Jnana praptihi, to gain Jnana. That is called vastu upalabdhihi. Natu is never possible by religious life alone. Then what should I do? I should go beyond religion. Vastu siddhihi vicharena. So, Brahma prapti or Jnana prapti is only through vicharaha, shastra vicharaha, Vedanta shravana manana nididhyasanam, philosophical pursuit. That alone will give me this knowledge. That is the only means that is called vastu siddhihi. సేమ్ అస్ వస్తు ఉపలబ్ధి ఆర్ వస్తు ప్రాప్తి ఇత్యర్థ. సపోజ్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు డూ విచార, దిస్ ఇస్ బోరింగ్, టేక్స్ మీ లాట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్, ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ డూ ఇట్, ఐ డోంట్ లైక్ దిస్, ఇట్ ఇస్ టూ డ్రై, అండ్ ఐఎమ్ ఏ వెరీ ఇమోషనల్ పర్సన్, ఐ లైక్ టు షెడ్ టీయర్స్ ఆన్ ద గ్లోరీ ఆఫ్ ద లాడ్, అండ్ ఐ లైక్ టు డూ మోర్ పూజ, కెన్ ఐ ఇంక్రీస్ ది ఇంటెన్సిటీ ఆఫ్ మై పూజ యాజ్ అ రీప్లేస్మెంట్ ఫర్ విచార? ఐ కెన్ డూ దాట్. ఐ కెన్ స్పెండ్ ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ 3 hours, ఐ కెన్ స్పెండ్ 5 hours. ఐ కెన్ రిపీట్ విష్ణు సహస్రనామం ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ 10 times, 100 times. కెన్ ఐ డూ దాట్? కెన్ ఐ క్రై ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ ద లాడ్ యాజ్ ద రీప్లేస్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ విచార? ఆచార్య సేస్ నా కించిత్ కర్మ కోటి బిహి. వన్ క్యాన్ డూ క్రోర్స్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞాస్, కర్మ కోటి బిహి, క్రోర్స్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞాస్, యాగాస్, ఇంటెన్స్ భజన్స్, క్రై ఆల్ ది టైమ్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ ద లాడ్, నన్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ విల్ రీప్లేస్ విచార ఎన్క్వైరీ. బట్ దే విల్ ఆల్, దే విల్ నాట్ గో వేస్ట్. లార్డ్ విల్ మేక్ యూ ఫిట్ ఫర్ ఎన్క్వైరీ అండ్ మేక్ యూ లవ్ ఎన్క్వైరీ అట్ సమ్ పాయింట్ ఇన్ టైమ్, సో దాట్ యూ క్యాన్ గెట్ ఇన్ టు వేదాంత విచార. లార్డ్ విల్ చేంజ్ ద మైండ్ అండ్ ది యాటిట్యూడ్. సో వస్తుసిద్ధి విచారేణ ఏవ, ఎన్క్వైరీ క్యాన్ నెవర్ బి రీప్లేస్డ్ బై ఎనీ అదర్ సాధన. సో ది సబ్స్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది శ్లోక ఈస్ కర్మణ శుద్ధి అండ్ విచారేణ జ్ఞానం. రిలిజియన్ గివ్స్ ప్యూరిటీ అండ్ ఫిలాసఫీ గివ్స్ నాలెడ్జ్. వేద పూర్వ భాగ దాట్ గివ్స్ ప్యూరిటీ, వేద అంత దాట్ గివ్స్ నాలెడ్జ్. పూర్వ మీమాంస దాట్ గివ్స్ ప్యూరిటీ అండ్ ఉత్తర మీమాంస గివ్స్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో ది ఎంటైర్ వేద ఈస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ విత్ బోత్ ది పూర్వ భాగ అండ్ ఉత్తర భాగ. శ్లోక నంబర్ 12. సమ్యక్ విచారత సిద్ధ రజ్జు తత్వావధారణ, సమ్యక్ విచారత సిద్ధ రజ్జు తత్వావధారణ, పశంతోదీత మహాసర్ప భయ దుఃఖ వినాశిని. సో ది ఆచార్య హీ సేస్ విచార అలోన్ గివ్స్ సెల్ఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్, సెల్ఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ అలోన్ గివ్స్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆర్ మోక్ష, అండ్ దర్ ఈస్ నో అదర్ మెథడ్. నా హియరింగ్ దిస్ సమ్ పీపుల్ మే థింక్, ఓ వాట్ అ ఫ్యానటిక్ అప్రోచ్ ఇస్ దిస్, వాట్ ఇస్ ది వైడ్ బిలీఫ్, వీ షుడ్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఆల్ సిస్టమ్స్, ఐ షుడ్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఆల్ ఫెయిత్స్, వీ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ అ జనరస్ హార్ట్ అండ్ వీ షుడ్ బి ఓపెన్ మైండెడ్, అక్సెప్ట్ ఆల్ ద ఫెయిత్స్ అండ్ సే దట్ ఆల్ రిలీజియన్స్ విల్ లీడ్ టు మోక్ష, ఆల్ ప్యాత్స్ దే లీడ్ టు మోక్ష, ఆల్ రోడ్స్ లీడ్ టు రోమ్ అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్, భక్తి యోగ, కర్మయోగ, కుండలిని యోగ, క్రియాయోగ, సో మెనీ ఆఫ్ దెమ్, అండ్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. బట్ స్వామీజీ సేస్ ఐ వుడ్ రాదర్ బి ఎ ఫ్యానటిక్ ఇన్ దిస్ వ్యూ రాదర్ దాన్ హీ కాల్స్ ఇట్ ఎ లూనటిక్. వై? శంకరాచార్య హీ గివ్స్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ హియర్ టు సే దట్ దిస్ ఈస్ అ ఫ్యాక్ట్ అండ్ నాట్ ఫ్యానటిసిజం అట్ ఆల్. అండ్ వాట్ ఇస్ ది ఎగ్జాంపుల్ హీ గివ్స్? ద వెల్ నోన్ స్నేక్ రోప్ అనాలజీ. ఇన్ సెమీ డార్క్నెస్, వర్డ్ సెమీ డార్క్నెస్ ఇస్ సెమీ ఇస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్. ఇన్ టోటల్ డార్క్నెస్ దర్ ఇస్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్, ఇస్ ఆల్ డార్క్ యూ కెన్ సీ నథింగ్, అండ్ ఇన్ టోటల్ బ్రైట్నెస్ ఆల్సో దర్ ఇస్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్. సో ఇఫ్ దర్ ఇస్ టోటల్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ బ్లిస్, ఇఫ్ టోటల్ బ్రైట్నెస్ టోటల్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో బ్లిస్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్. సో వీ సే టోటల్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ బ్లిస్, టోటల్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ బ్లిస్. వెన్ దర్ ఇస్ సెమీ లైట్ అండ్ సెమీ డార్క్నెస్ దెన్ అలోన్ దిస్ పర్సన్ ఆల్సో గోస్ సెమీ. వాట్ ఇస్ దాట్? He sees that there is something there in that room which also appears coiled, and he has heard about snakes in that region. So he sees there is something, there is a samanya jnanam. Samanya jnanam, he sees something. But he does not have the specific knowledge that it is a rope. He sees something there which appears to be a snake. So this partial knowledge is called samanya kajan. జ్ఞానపూర్వక విశేష జ్ఞాన అభావ. దర్ ఇస్ అ జనరల్ నాలెడ్జ్, సామాన్యక నాలెడ్జ్ దట్ దర్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్, బట్ నో స్పెసిఫిక్ నాలెడ్జ్, విశేష జ్ఞాన అభావ. సో ఐ మేక్ మేక్ ది ఎర్రర్ అండ్ థింక్ దట్ దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ స్నేక్, అండ్ ది ఎర్రర్ ఈస్ బార్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? రోప్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్, నాట్ సామాన్య జ్ఞాన అభావ బట్ విశేష జ్ఞాన అభావాత్ సర్ప ఉత్పన్న. బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ విశేష జ్ఞానం ది సర్ప హస్ కమ్ ది the snake is born. And once that has come, what will be my emotion? I will get fear, bhayam, dukkham, or kampanam, trembling. You know, they say, when there is a snake, even an army will get, scattering. So, sweating, all those things happen. So, what is the situation here now? Ajnana, ignorance. Ajnana janya sarpaha, ignorance born snake. And sarpa janya bhayaha, snake born fear. That is the situation now. Now, the Acharya asks, tell me, how many methods are there to remove this present problem? That is the question of the Acharya. If fear has to go, the snake has to go. If the snake has to go, what should one do? If the snake has to go, what should one do? That will be the question. Can you bring maybe in India we have the snake charmers, you know, he will come with that magudi or something like that to play. Or you can you call the animal control people here? Or can you do some japa of some Garuda mantra so that the snake will go away? You can do anything, however, this snake will not go away at all. Only when ignorance is gone, this snake will go. And how will the ignorance will go? You may do anything. Jnanena eva ajnana nashaha. Ignorance can be destroyed only by knowledge. So, bhayanashaha is only through jnanam. And if I say that bhayanashaha is only through knowledge, am I a fanatic or a sane thinking person? If I make the statement that bhayanashaha is only through knowledge, will I be considered a fanatic or a sane person? I am not a fanatic, but I cannot say that I will accept all other things. We can accept all other people, but we cannot accept all other theories. So, we should never get confused between accommodating the people and accommodating their notions. Accommodating people is a value. A Christian, a Muslim, or any other faith for that matter, accommodating all of them, learning to love them, they are all values. And we are all taught those values from childhood. But I cannot accommodate those ideas that we are all sinners, moksha is in the heaven only. I cannot accommodate those ideas at all. Veda very clearly says, Shrunvantu sarve amritasya putraha. We are all sons of immortality, amritasya putraha. We are nitya yukta mukta swabhavaha. That is all our nature. Since sin is a superficial encrustation, as Swamiji says, in a person. It is not the innermost in nature. So the Acharya says, jnanena eva mokshaha is not a fanatic approach, but it is a fact. If someone asks, will bhakti give moksha? Somebody asks the question. I will say, yes. If bhakti means self-knowledge. We are going to see later, Acharya himself gives a beautiful shloka, which is often quoted by so many people according to their convenience. So, moksha sadhana samagriyam, bhakti reva gariyasi, Acharya has told, among all the sadhanas towards moksha, bhakti is the highest. If somebody reads this first sentence, they will say, oh, Shankaracharya himself has told, bhakti is the highest thing in getting self-knowledge. But he writes in the second line, Swasvarupana sandhanam bhaktirityabhidiyate. Bhakti means inquiring into one's nature. So otherwise the whole teaching will never take us anywhere. So the clarity in the understanding. So interpreting mimamsa, bhakti means what? Interpret properly, clarity of the understanding. So the Acharya says here, Raju tattva avadharana. The clear knowledge of rope, Rajju means rope. The clear knowledge of rope, which is the tattvam, which is the substratum, basis for the false snake. That is the rope knowledge. So that is mithya sarpa adhishtanam is tattvam, which is Rajju, the rope. And avadharana means nishchaya jnanam, firm knowledge, doubtless knowledge. This is truth, the whole truth. And nothing but truth, that kind of a firm knowledge. And this is Vinashini, destroyer of Mahasarpa Bhayam, the fear born out of the Mahasarpa, the huge snake. And how did this snake come into existence? purely by rope ignorance only. Snake came into existence because of rope ignorance. So he says, Prantyodita, Prantihi, erroneous perception, Udita, Udita means born. So the clear knowledge of rope is the destroyer of the fear born out of the snake, which is born out of the erroneous perception. In short, knowledge alone will destroy this particular fear. And how did this knowledge come into the being? Not through any other means, not Mantrobadesha or Sri Vidya Upasana or Lalita Sahasranam Upasana, none of those. But Rajju Sarpa comes, we have to find how you can bring a torch and find out whether it is a real Sarpa or whether it is a Rajju Sarpa. The torch is called Shastra Pramana. So you bring a torch light and then light it on the Sarpa. Then one will know whether it is a rope or a Sarpa. So it is, the torch is the Shastra Pramanam. It is like the Shastra Pramanam. Take the Shastra Pramanam torch, light up and see the whole plurality in creation is an error upon Advaita. That is important. So light up the entire thing through Shastra Pramana and understand the plurality is an error upon Advaita. So he says, Samyak Vicharataha Siddha. This knowledge is attained through only proper inquiry with Shastra torchlight, the torchlight of Shastra. Then alone this knowledge will come and then alone it will destroy this fear, bhayam. Similarly, for the samsara bhayam also, for the fear of samsara, Atmajnanam alone should come to get rid of this fear. And for Atmajnanam to come, what is must? Vichara is must. Self-enquiry is must. That is what the Acharya contends here very categorically. And we will continue these discussions in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Shri Krishna Arpanam.